Well, are you ready to really, 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 really receive all God has for you this morning?
Yes, Lord.
And then retain it.
Yes.
So that's the important part. You get it and then you keep it. You don't get it and then lose it and get it and lose it, get it and lose it. You get it and you keep it. Well, Father, I thank you this morning and I do praise you. And all those that came out this morning, they come because they're hungry, Lord. They come because they love you and they want to sit at the table with you. Now, Father God, I'm just asking right now that your angels and angelic host be instructed to move throughout these chairs, and those that need healing, Father God, let them be healed from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Father God, we just break every curse that's been placed upon your children right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, every spirit of infirmity has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and to his blood. So Father God, we thank you. We decree and declare total and complete healing in this body today. And Father, open up their spiritual ears and their spiritual eyes. Let them hear what thus saith the Lord, and let them see into the spirit realm and see as you see, Father. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, it's so imperative that we allow God to empty us out of everything that's not of him, so he can fill us up with the new wine that he wants to bring upon the body. See, you're the one that's going to have to say, Lord, empty me out. He's not going to come and say, let me yank something out of you. You're going to say, Lord, empty me out, set me free. So this morning we're going to talk about new wine skins. I've been all over the place, different messages, but I finally ended up with this one. So let's just see what God has to say. I heard the Lord say, tell my church I'm leading them out of their comfort zones. I am leading them out of their comfort zones. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Yes, I am preparing a new wineskin that will house my presence and my purposes for this season. I am exposing doctrines that have kept my people from experiencing all that I desire to give and release to them and through them. I am pouring a new wine and I am removing the old so that I can pour in the new. There are a lot of things going on in your life you don't understand, but it's really God ripping things out of you so he can give you the new. And sometimes it's very, very hard to, because we don't understand what God's doing, it's really hard to really stand and then stand and then stand. It's really hard to do that. But it's something, saints of God, that we really, truly have to do. Isaiah 43:18 says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers, and the badlands. We're going to read that again because, see, this is where God is at. And guys, we've got to get there with God. Forget about what's happened. Yesterday is gone. Don't keep going over old history. Don't keep going back and saying, look what they did, look what they did, look what happened. Don't keep doing that. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. Now, we've learned that if we aren't listening to completely for God's voice, we're going to miss this brand new thing that he's doing. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers, and the badlands. No, we don't see what God's doing. We're supposed to be walking by faith and not by sight. He's not going to lay everything out right there for you to see. He's telling you, he gives you a little tidbit here and a little tidbit there, and he's telling you, this is what I'm going to do. Now you walk by faith and let me take you from point A to point Z. Please keep in mind that God said, I am leading, which means we must watch closely and listen for his leading. He knows how to lead us. We, on the other hand, must learn to submit and follow. See, the problem with the church is we've been so used to doing the leading, doing what we want to do, that now it's hard to submit to the Father and let him lead us where he wants us to go. Let's look closely at Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Aren't you glad that he's doing a new thing? Aren't you really sick and tired of the old thing you've been going through? Now shall it spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So it doesn't matter what it looks like around about you. God is making the way. God is making the way. Now, if you're trying to make your own way, then that's why you're getting discouraged and disheartened. God is making the way. And if he said, promised you something, he's going to bring it to pass. You're probably like me. Every day you go before the Lord and you praise and you worship him. And then you say, Father, am I still in your perfect will? You know, we want to stay in God's perfect will. And if you're like me, he'll answer you and he'll tell you whether you are or not. There's nothing wrong with every day asking God, am I in your perfect will? Because how else are you going to know if you don't ask? Notice several main concepts here. One, God will do a new thing. Number two, now shall it spring forth. Number three, shall we not know it? See, God has given us signs all over the place about what's going to happen or what is happening. Number four, he will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When God says that he is about to do something new, we automatically know that change is in the midst, right? The word new in this passage means fresh, but it also means to renew and to rebuild. And God has been speaking to us for 3-4 years now, rebuild my temple. Rebuild my house. And you know, you are his temple. You are his house. You carry the glory, right? So he wants to rebuild you. He wants to restore you back to where you, to your original state. I believe this passage in this season is speaking about our being on the threshold of experiencing a brand new thing, but also a renewal. Well, we are going to experience something brand new. But guys, you're going to have to hold on for dear life. You're going to have to trust and believe God that he is doing a brand new thing. The word renewal implies a repairing or a replacement of something. I don't want him to repair nothing. Amen. I want everything replaced brand new. Think about this for a minute. God desires to replace an old belief system and relationship with him that has been limited by mindsets, doctors, and so on, with an updated and even repaired relationship and revelation of him. He wants to take everything that you've thought in your little pea brain, because our brains are not very good. We know that, right? He wants to take everything you used to think, and he wants to give his mind to you. He wants you to start thinking like he thinks. And the only way you can do that is if you yield yourself totally and completely to him and let him rewire you. How many of you say to God, rewire my kids today? You know, or rewire me today, Lord, because I'm something not right up there. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to rewire us. And he wants us to be just like him. He wants us to have his mind, his motives, his decisions. He wants us to be following him 100%. All right, so what does this mean when he wants to repair? It means that God is going to intimately visit us. A lot of you can't believe that, but it's the truth. God wants to intimately visit us. His presence will become so tangible that we will surely know him and actually see him as he is. And you find that in 1 John 3:2. Therefore, many of us are about to experience a renewal of our faith in him. How are you going to do this? Because you're going to have a visit from him. Are you really up to a visit from the Lord? Yeah. I've read some testimonies where people say, oh, Lord, come visit me, come visit me. And when it does, it scares them half to death. You know, so do you really want him to come visit? Are you really ready for what you're going to feel, see, or hear? Sometimes we ask for something we don't really know the full implication of what we're asking. If we believe we have fallen short or even failed God in our old season, we can all say amen to that, right? We've all failed and fallen short. Now, don't anybody say, not me. Come on. He is repairing our belief system and reestablishing the truths of grace and faith and righteousness. Knowing that we are righteous because of the accomplished work at the cross will stabilize us during times of change. I've been reading a lot of people's testimonies about how God's coming and changing and rearranging, and they're not too happy with the changing and the rearranging. I mean, they know it's a good thing, but what they're going through while God is changing and rearranging is not a good thing, they don't think. Amen. You always have to remember Job. When God was changing his life, he took everything from him, right? But he gave him so much more in the end. So don't be kicking and carrying on because God's taking things away. Thank him and rejoice in him, knowing that you're going to get something better because what he took didn't amount to anything anyhow. We make gods, things gods, and they're not really gods. You know, when you make an idol out of your things and God starts taking your idols away, then all of a sudden you get upset. Well, quit being upset and know that God is well able to restore back to you 100-fold what he took that wasn't any good. And what he's going to get returned to you is so much better. This is because no matter what our old season held, is that where I'm at? This is because no matter what our old season held, God does not withhold his love and blessings from us as we move forward into the new. Hear that? He does not withhold anything from you. Truly knowing this, we repent and change the way we think about ourselves and about God. Read that again. Truly knowing this, that he never withholds his love, we repent and change the way we think about ourselves and about God. In other words, if you're beating yourself over the head because you failed God, quit. Just quit. God knew you was going to fall short in different times in your life. The word says so. So just quit. God is not beating you on the head. He's just saying repent, turn around, and do what's right. Truly knowing this, we repent and change the way we think about ourselves and about God so that we can run boldly to his throne and receive a fresh anointing to shift into our new season. Now, how many of you know that you don't run boldly too often into the throne of grace because you just know you really blew it? Sort of crawl a little bit, right? Well, quit. Just quit. Just know that he loves you. You're not perfect. He didn't make you perfect. And he's a forgiving God. And he's just waiting for you to say, Father, I'm so sorry. But you don't have to crawl on your hands and knees to him. Walk boldly. Amen. See, what happens is when we start crawling to him and doing all that blubbering and everything else, the enemy grabs hold of that. Then the enemy makes you start feeling unworthy. Then the enemy will tell you, well, you know, you don't even have a right to go before the throne of grace. The enemy will speak all kind of negative things into your mind, and so don't go there that way. You don't go cocky. But you do go boldly and say, Father God, you made a way. That's why I had the sign Amazing Grace put up here, because I think we have to have that before our eyes continually, knowing that God's grace is amazing. And, you know, we're so easy to forget. I mean, a lot of people have tramped all over grace and made it something that it isn't. But God truly does have grace for those who are really sorry for what they've done. This renewal bring forth a refreshing, and in the midst of this, his perfect plan for our lives will be rebuilt. This renewal will bring forth a refreshing, and in the midst of this, his perfect plan, not the flawed plan that we made it to be, his perfect plan for our lives will be rebuilt. You have to be careful too in this season right now, because your friends who don't really know your heart will try to make you feel you're not worthy. And they will condemn you at every turn. Don't allow that to happen. Are you listening? You really know your true motives. You really know your true heart. And God does know all that. So don't let a friend, don't let a pastor, don't let a husband or wife condemn you. You do what God is telling you to do. And do it with all your heart and all your might. And then just let God have full control. And what they say about you really doesn't matter, does it? Come on. Whatever the enemy did to tear down the plans and purposes of God for our lives, churches and businesses and families and so forth, will be restored, and God will bring forth his original intent for our lives and reestablish purpose. I say that because that's what God told me. He is going to do what he purposed to do for in each one of our lives. You know, so don't feel like you blew it for the final time. Don't feel like that. Believe me, if you blow it for the final time, you'll know. God will tell you. We will know it is happening because he is drawing us closer to him in a more intimate way. See, God is drawing us closer. When we make these mistakes, that we're always going to do that. We strive for perfection. We are not perfect. And when we make these mistakes, don't back away from God, but run to God. And run to God boldly. Excuse me, sometimes I really believe that God allows us to do these dumb things. So we do draw close to him. So we do understand, hey, I'm not all that and then some. And then you go running to your Father. And he says, I love you. You know, I haven't left you nor forsake you. I'm not going to. I love you. And when he tells you he loves you, receive that love. Don't allow the enemy to tell you you're no good. Don't allow the enemy to point all your out on all your flaws. Receive the love that God's trying to give to you. Our prayer lives are being reactivated and renewed as we are receiving fresh focus and divine strategy as to how and when to pray. I've heard some people say, you know, I don't pray like I used to, but then they, you know, now they've seen I'm back to my old way of praying. See, so God, they had strayed away from their prayer life, but God in his sovereignty, he nudged them a little bit and said, hey, you know, you're not praying the way you used to. Come on back and let's just talk one to another. Let's pray. Also, we will know he is doing this new thing because we will experience his grace and love in such a way it will be undeniable. Some of you sitting here, you know that you know that you know you should be 10 feet under about right now. You shouldn't even be sitting in the house of God. But God. So I said, also we will know he is doing this new thing because we will experience his grace and love in such a way it will be undeniable. And we will have to give him all the glory, because we will recognize the fact that it was he alone who did this. A reason why a lot of people can't change is because they think they can do it. And you can't. It takes God. It takes God. However, to make this shift will require that we choose to follow him, be willing to come out of our comfort zones, our comfortable doctrines, and comfortable mindsets. This is things we're going to have to do. However, to make this shift will require that we choose to follow God, be willing to come out of our comfort zones. And that's really hard for some of you business people because your mind has been so set in certain things, doing certain ways. And now God's saying, okay, out of that little comfort zone, into the unknown, into the uncomfortable, I'm going to take you. Our comfortable doctrines and comfortable mindsets. Just like when God started doing change in my life and changing the way this church service has been running, I said, God, what is going on? And he said, I'm doing what I told you I'm doing. I'm changing things. He said, but you were comfortable where you're at and you don't know what's going to happen. So you're dragging your feet and don't want to move forward. See, you know, he said, you were comfortable where you were at. You knew how things were going to go and what was going to happen. But now you're not going to know what's going to happen because I'm taking you out of that comfort zone. That's why a lot of people stay married, because they figure they're comfortable in that mess. You know, and they don't want to go, they don't want something new is going to hold for them. So they just stay, I might as well stay here, you know. And this is the way we are with God. So we get to a certain place with God and we get comfortable there and God's nudging us to move forward and move on. And we're saying, nah, you know, I like it right here. I'm comfortable here. I'm happy here. I'm content here. Well, God, every time you get content, God's going to get his little needle out and start plucking at you, because he's going to say you have to move on. He does never wants us to get comfortable at the place we're at, because there's so much more to God than what we have. Are you understanding this? So if you're feeling very uncomfortable where you're at your walk with God, that's fine. That's God telling you, hey, there's more to me than what you know. And I'm going to keep pushing on you until you go ahead and start moving forward. He'll pull that rug out from underneath you more than one time, I can guarantee you that. We all like comfort, right? Most of us are the same. We like comfort very much. But whenever the Lord begins to lead us down a new road or begins to minister to us that it is our season for change, our default button seems to be hang on to the old. Remember how I told you, God kept telling me, daughter, let go of what you used to have. What I used to have was really good with God. He said, let go of that because what I'm taking you to is so much greater, but I can't take you there until you let go of the old. It was hard to let go of the old because the old was so good, you know. But like God told me last night, I'm now ready to take you onto the greater works because you have finally let go of the old. So what is it God's trying to get you to let go of? He can't take you to the new thing that he wants to take you to until you let go of that old thing that you were comfortable in. See, Sister Catherine was all comfortable in her little single life. So God took her into married life and she said, I don't know if I like this or not because I was comfortable back there. Now I got to contend with this man. Tearing my whole life apart. My routine isn't the same anymore. Isn't that how it goes? Come on. God looked down and said, she's too comfortable. She'll never go where I wanted to go, so I'm going to give her a thorn in the flesh. Amen. This is the way God works. Brett would never straighten out, so he gave six women to worry about. Amen. Seven, whatever it is. Now I lost count. It's taking you out of your comfort zone because if I don't get your attention this way, then you're never going to serve me. What's it? Now, see, I don't know the rest of you, so I don't know what he's doing in your life. I don't know what comfort zone you're in, but believe me, you're not going to stay there because God has to change you. He has to rearrange things in your life. He has to get you to a place where he can minister to you. Lost my place. Most of us are the same. We like comfort very much, but whenever the Lord begins to lead us down a new road or begins to minister to us that it is our season for change, our default button seems to be hang on to the old. I don't know what the new looks like. How many people get frustrated at home? You say, I'm ready for a change. And God doesn't change. You want to change and he won't change you. Why? Because he wants you right where you're at. All right? God works in mysterious ways, right? We get comfortable because we know what to expect, and then we begin to sabotage our future by hanging on to whatever is familiar. Come on. Then you start kicking against the pricks. God, are you sure you know what you're doing? I didn't sign up for this part. Yes, you did. You signed up for the whole package. Good or bad or indifferent, it was a whole package. Come on. How many of you can honestly say to yourself, I thought I was all right. I thought I had it all together until God started changing me. Until he started pulling the rug out from underneath me. Amen. Have you ever thought about what the word comfortable really means? It actually means being free from stress and anxiety and feeling ease and security. Well, you're not going to be comfortable no more because it's pulling you out of your comfort zone. You know, I said this morning, God, I'd like to get one morning and not have Isaiah throwing things across the room at me. I was comfortable before he came along, see? So God's taking me out of my comfort zone. Isn't that what happens in your house? Sometimes you say, God, it felt good over here. Can I go back there? No, you can't go back there. God did all that work to rearrange your life so you go where he wants you to go and be what he wants you to be. Why would he take you back there? Ask yourself that. Look at the definition again, and you'll notice that we desire to be comfortable because a comfort zone says, just stay here and you'll be stress-free and secure in this place. The only way we can experience true stability and peace is to follow God's leading. Until he gets to that place, you won't have really true stability and peace. Because you're going to be dragging your feet, you're going to be kicking and screaming, and he's going to have to pick you up like I do little Isaiah, and come on, get up on your feet and walk. You know, you're not going to want to go where he wants to take you. Now see, God really wants to change each one of you sitting here this morning. That's why you're here. You know, God knows who he wants, where to hear what message. He wants to change your lifestyle because it's not his lifestyle. He wants to take the old out of you so he can put the new wine in, so he can use you as a leader that he has already foreordained you to be. A lot of people say, well, if God really wanted me to do that, he'd had me do it years ago. No, you weren't ready years ago. This is your season. This is a time that God wants to use you now. So now he's starting to say, okay, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. You say, is anything right? He says, no, this is wrong, and this is wrong. Amen. Because you spent all your life living like that, and you think everything is just fine, and it isn't. God is exposing every area of our belief systems. Is that right, Matt, Nancy? Okay. God is exposing every area of our belief systems and doctrines that blocks us from completely trusting him and relying on him only. This is the reason why his directive word emphasized the fact that he would lead us. Not we, or us, or I, he. Trusting his lead dictates our complete surrender and our need to always be right. You hear that? Trusting God's lead dictates our complete surrender and our need to always be right. That pride thing will make you believe you have to be right all the time, doesn't it? I have to get the last word in. No, you don't. God does. He gets the last word. The Lord began to download to me concerning how we get comfortable with our lives, our daily activity, and yes, even the church services. Don't we? Well, we never know what we're going to do, but you know, most churches you go into and say, well, we're going to sit down there and then we're going to sing three songs and somebody's going to give about 10 testimonies and then the preacher's going to preach 5 minutes and we're going to go home. And you're comfortable with that. But see, God takes you, if God's in the lead, you come into the church, you don't know what he's going to do. And sometimes I think, dear Lord, have you just lost your mind? You know? Because I always tell him, you have full rule and reign in here. You do whatever you want to do. And some of the things he does, I'm not expecting. Everything he does, I'm not expecting, because he's God. Come on. The Lord began to, I read that, didn't I? But the Holy Spirit is coming forth with a fresh wind like Pentecost. His breath is being released afresh upon us, and it will shake us free from religious mindsets and doctrines of men. Aren't you glad that God is bringing that fresh wind to blow all that junk out of us? Come on. You know, I'm so glad that God wouldn't let me go to Bible school. He said, I want my Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, and direct you. I watch a lot of people come out of Bible college and they're messed up because they have doctrine of men in them. And it's, how many of you know that once you get something in you, it's really hard to let go of it? That thing is embedded in you. I know for a fact that I am thirsty for his presence. Can all you say that? There is a thirst that we probably all are experiencing, and it's because we've been in a desert-type experience. You hear me? Why do you think God took us into a desert-type experience? So we want more of him. You know, I was really comfortable with everything God was doing. I just thought what he was doing absolutely positively great, and then he put me in the desert, and I said, my goodness, this is a dry, parched area of my walk with you, Lord, that I don't like. But it was necessary so he could take me into the greater works. Do you all understand that? He has to do these things so you can get out of your comfort zone and get up into the supernatural realm so he can use you to do the great and mighty works that needs to be done in this dispensation. I don't know if you've been following what's going on over in Jerusalem, but I feel so very sorry for the Jews over there because they're being persecuted right and left, afraid to go out of their homes, or they're starving inside their homes. They have money, but they can't get out and spend it. You know, and we're here in our comfortable zone. You know, we can do what we want to do and whenever we want to do it, but I'm wondering, is that going to be forever? You know, and if you read the word, this persecution of the Jews has always been in the word that it was coming, right? But I don't know if they believed it or weren't, you know, just thought it would be not till later on. But you know what, guys, you have to, don't think, well, that'll be later on down the road. You don't know that. It might be today. This might be your day for change. This might be your day for God to pull the rug out from underneath you to get your attention. You know, as the word says, it's better that you fall on the rock than have the rock fall on you. You know, and I don't know about you, but I don't want that rock to fall on me. I'll just, yes, Jesus, whatever you want, I'll do. Right? Feel like you're still in the wilderness? Join the club. Right now, we're all like that. Even though we've been having great church and wonderful moves of God, it pales in comparison to what God is about to do. We have to continually keep our eyes on God, that no matter what he's doing in our life, he's taking us to a better step in him. The word of God says he takes us from glory to glory to glory. Now, why can't you believe that? Why can't you go ahead and let God take the things away from you that he doesn't want you to have and then pour into you the things he wants you to have? Why can't you do that? Ask yourself that question. What is there about me that I'm so pig-headed that I can't let go of things that are not good for me? Come on. If you will look again at Isaiah 43:19, God says that he will make a way in the wilderness and provide springs in the desert. Many of us are back in a wilderness experience, but hold on, it has had its divine purpose. That dry place had its divine purpose. I don't know about you, but it's made me think I never want to go back there again. I just want to move on and on and on and on. I don't ever want to stop anywhere. I just want to keep moving with God. When experiencing a wilderness, there is an unquenchable thirst that can only be satisfied by a fresh experience with the Lord. You know, and we keep reading, well, God, you know, you said your angels are going to come and visit us in the middle of the night and this, you know, we're going to have a face-to-face experience. Don't you wish that would soon happen? I keep hearing those things and God keeps even speaking through me to myself about it. And I'm just, let's do it, Lord. Let it happen. You know, I want to be shocked as I'm sitting here in my chair having my mind on you. I want an angel to walk into the room, right? Don't you? You know, and start telling me what you want me to know. Or I'd like to see you face to face. Because he's been promising all that stuff. He's been whetting our appetites. But are we really hungry and thirsty for those things? I really believe with all my heart, guys, that each one of us has to work out that situation ourselves. Each one of us has to become hungry and thirsty for these things in our own individual lives. We can't do it for each other. The Lord will lead us into a desert experience just as he did Israel on purpose. Why? To rid us of an old slavery mentality, the mindsets attached to our past experiences and our false belief systems concerning God as well as ourselves. He wants to set us free, totally, completely free. The Lord has a way of leading us through a desert that causes us to cry out again and again and again. Let's just admit it. We need him now more than ever before. Do you understand that? Let's not linger any longer in a wilderness experience, but rather let go of every limitation that would tie us to our past. I want you right now, as you're sitting here, let go of everything that you know that is not of God. Quit holding on to those things that you need, you think you need, because you don't need those things. Let go of them and just let God be God. All right, how can we contain what he is about to do? The answer is this. We must become a new wineskin. God is about to open up fresh springs of refreshing because he is about to do something new. I've been preaching this and preaching this and preaching this, and you know what I believe? I believe you've heard it so much you don't pay no attention to it. I believe it either goes in one ear and out the other or straight over top of your head. You've heard about grace. I mean, glory. God's going to drop his glory. You've heard that so much that you're not even thinking about it no more. God keeps reminding us what he's going to do because he wants us to get excited and stay excited and get in great anticipation of what he's about to do in your lives. You know, and I notice every time somebody makes one step forward, Satan comes and knocks them 10 steps backwards. Why is that? Why is it you keep getting knocked backwards? Stay firmly rooted and grounded in Christ, and you won't get knocked backwards. If you're watching what's going on in the Christian world, a lot of churches are closing. A lot of pastors are losing their pastorship because of sins they've been in. And God needs new wineskins to replace these old wineskins. Now, he wants to use you younger people. But are you going to let him? There's a lot of young new faces out there right now, but are they going to last? You know, a lot of people got all gung-ho and they last a year or two and they're done. They get cocky, full of pride, and you know, they don't listen to God. They listen to themselves or men. And next thing you know, they're out in after in the cold all by themselves. God is looking for stable people that he can drop his anointing on and send them forth in power and in might and do a great and mighty works. Talk about the new wineskins, Matthew 9:16. No one sews a patch of unshrunk clothes on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. God cannot give you the glory that he wants to give you because you still have the old in you. You are still not letting go of the old. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, say thank God. But, you know, God cannot do with you what he wants to do because you are not letting go of all the old. How many of you just went some in a private room and said, I give it up to you, Lord. I give it up. It's all yours. And really meant it. And then take it back. I surrender everything, God, to you that you want. You take, I don't care what you take, just take it. Because I'm tired of living this way. How many of you have said that to God? Up one day, down the next. You know? God doesn't want that in our lives. We are supposed to be sure-footed. We're supposed to be steady and stable so we can lead other people. Are you understanding this at all this morning? God is trying to empty you out totally and completely. Don't fall asleep on God. Don't get all bored and everything else because God's doing this thing and he's not doing anything new. Well, if you're getting bored, then he still has to do some more work on you. Looking further into looking further into God preparing us as new wineskins, we must consider the fact that often God will take something used or old and restore it to a new quality. Are you listening? When a wineskin became inflexible and needed a type of life extension so that it can be further used, it had to endure a process where it was soaked in water and followed up with an intense rubbing in oil. I think some of you need to go down to the river again, like we sang, and get dunked again. As this was done, a new flexibility to receive the new wine occurred. It's a good thing that God is opening up rivers and springs right now. This will intensify our need to soak in his presence. I remember when I was over in Germany, I was buying furniture and I had to replace, you know, some of the leather was cracking and they told me what I had to do. And this was a process I had to do. And sure enough, it restored it. But we need to soak in God's river. We need to soak in him and then allow him to pour his oil over us. Allow him to just bring us to a place of total and complete submission to him and say, God, do whatever you have to do, but make me the vessel of honor that you want me to be. Amen. Come on. Come on, church. I remember back a couple years ago, somebody called me and said, Pastor Barbara, God told me you're supposed to start teaching again. And I thought I was teaching, but then I find myself teaching now. But it finally dawned on me what God said to me last night. It dawned on me what God said to this person a couple years ago. Yeah, because what was happening is God was just moving through by the Spirit constantly. But the people now didn't have any respect for the Spirit. And so God said, go back to teaching. So I'm back to teaching, but I'd rather be used by God, just have the Spirit move like it used to. But then I don't want what I used to have. I want what God's doing to be something greater. So you see, it's not what I'm doing, but it's what the people are doing. The people are not letting God change them. So he had to go back to teaching. He lifted his Spirit. He lifted all that anointing. I don't know about you, but I'd rather see blind eyes open. I'd rather see cancer fall off of people. And I'd rather see the dead raised than what we have. Come on. This dry season that I'm in because of what people won't receive is just about killing me. Because when you walk for 30 years in the supernatural and all you see is miracle after miracle after miracle, then you come to this riverbed, no water in it. It's a bad place to be. But you can change all that. You can say, God, I don't want to be that dry riverbed. I want to be that river of living waters. I want to be that vessel, God, that you can use at any given time to heal the sick. Or perform a miracle. Do you understand this? Isn't it so much better to be that than go home and beat your wife? Come on. Be macho man. You know, you're going to have to be humble if you're going to be a vessel of honor for God to work through. Come on, guys. As we soak Jesus, the anointed one will rub us with his holy oil, all for the divine purpose of making us more flexible. You know, at one point when I was going through this dry season that this church is in, God came to me one night and he said, daughter, I have brought the alabaster box to you. And I'm anointing you with my oil. Because he knew I had gotten very discouraged. And it was like I say, when you walk in miracles all the time and then all of a sudden there's nothing, it devastates you. So if you guys are sitting here and you've never walked in miracles, I'm telling you, it's so much greater than what you have right now. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. Because you're doing just exactly what Jesus did. Jesus didn't sit around and do nothing. He didn't sit around in a dry riverbed. He constantly had the oil and the water flowing out of him. The anointing was constantly there day and night to minister to the people, no matter where he went. And I was sitting there last night, I was talking to the Lord, and he said, daughter, you know, you're right with what you said my son used to do. When he came to the mountain to be alone with me, he would weep before me because the people would not receive. And he knew that they were lost and dying. And he came to weep before me about this and then so I could strengthen him. So, you know, guys, that's what we have to do. And we see the world and the state that it's in and people won't receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They won't believe anything. Then you're going to have to go to your Father. And you're going to have to let him restore your strength back to you. People can't do that. People cannot restore your strength back to you. They cannot restore even your faith. It takes God. It takes you being humble before the Lord. Are you listening? All right, as we soak, I'm going to go back there. As we soak, Jesus, the anointed one, will rub us with his holy oil, all for the divine purpose of making us more flexible. Don't you just say, God, just bring a whole bottle of oil and pour it over me. I never forget when I was, before I started ministering, this lady called me 12 o'clock at night and said, Barbara, you've got to come over. God wants you to come into my house. So I got dressed, so got out of bed and got dressed, went there. She said, sit down in the chair, and she had a bottle of this great big oil, you know. She put a towel around my shoulders. I thought, what is she going to do? She poured that whole bottle of oil over my head. That oil went down all over me, but I was a changed person when I got up out of that chair, 12 o'clock at night. God said to call her here because I want to anoint her with my oil. Don't you want God to do that with you? Don't you want God to anoint you with his oil? And then see, the very next day, she had somebody in from overseas. And the very next day, when he preached, he said, anybody wants to come to the pastor's house, I will minister to you. And so me, I was hungry for everything God had. I was just so hungry. And I went. I called and said, can I go? Come. I got my hair up in rollers. Used to have rollers in. You know? And she said, he doesn't care how you come. So I went. And when I walked through the door, it was my turn to walk through the door. He was feverishly writing. And he looked up. He said, you're the woman. And then because God had told him about this woman that was going to come. And what God was going to do with this woman. And he actually sat there crying. He said, you're the woman that I've been feverishly writing about. And then he went on to tell me what God was going to do with my life. I mean, you talk about being humble, submissive. I mean, I couldn't believe everything the man told me. And he wept and he wept and he wept as he ministered to me. Don't you want something like that to happen in your life? You know, one time I was really going through a bad state in my marriage and everything, and I was all alone that night, and God said, go out on your patio. So I went out on the patio, and it was all wet just on the patio. And I said, God, it's not wet anyplace else but right here. And I even felt it, the dew on me. And I said, what is this? He said, this is the dew of Hermon. I brought my dew to you tonight to encourage you and to lift you up and tell you, you're not alone. I'm here with you. No matter what man's doing to you, I'm here with you. Don't you want to serve that kind of God? Don't you want God to do those things to you? I mean, I could go on and on with what God has done with me just to keep me going so I would stay on the road that he had me on and do the things he's called me forth to do. You know, there's so much more than what you have, guys. All you have to do is just let God empty you out. He wants to change you so he can use you for his honor and for his glory. Did people accept me? No, everybody rejected me. But it didn't matter because I had visitations from the Lord. I knew my Father was holding my hand. I knew he was there every step of the way. So it didn't matter what man or woman had to say. I was secure in my Father's arms. Some of you aren't secure in your Father's arms. You don't understand that he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. You don't understand that bad things are going to happen to good people. But that doesn't take his love away from you. His love just gets greater and greater and greater. I really wouldn't fuss about what people said about you because every time they say something bad, God loves you more. You're understanding this? We're mad. We will each seek more of his anointing, I hope, and therefore become even more anointed ourselves as we continue to be used for his glory. See, as you go forth and let God empty you out, and then as you go forth and you are used by God, your anointing will increase. I'm not giving away this anointing. After all, I worked hard for this anointing. Freely you have received, freely give it out, and God will keep coming and filling you up and filling you up and filling you up. For many of us, we become inflexible in our mindsets and belief systems and therefore unable to hold new wine from heaven. Let's read that again. For many of us, we become inflexible in our mindsets and belief systems and therefore unable to hold new wine from heaven. Please don't become unteachable. I don't know how many people have come through these doors. God said they become unteachable. You can't teach them nothing else. I'm taking them. You know, God will take you away from his word if you become unteachable. He will take you away from the truth of his word if you become unteachable. In other words, you think you know it all and nobody's going to tell you what to do. The only way to make a shift so that we can experience the river in our wilderness is to be determined to remain steady as he shakes us. Are you listening? The only way to make a shift so that we can experience the river in our wilderness is to be determined to remain steady as he shakes us. As he shakes us. Removes us from our comfort zones and be willing to hear new direction by his spirit. Removes us from our comfort zones and be willing to hear new direction by his spirit. Well, God, you said, God has a right to change his mind. Maybe you just didn't pass the course, and so he knows that you're not going to pass that. You're not one he wants to use that area, so he'll take you and put you in some other area. Who cares as long as God is moving through you? I mean, as long as he's your father. Who cares what he's having you do? Who cares if he just has you sitting in the house of God covered by the blood of Jesus? As long as one day we go to sit with him in heavenly places. An old season must end before a new season begins. An old season must end before a new season begins. Therefore, let's prepare for the new by letting go of the old. Also, the old wine in an old season is coming to an end. God is speaking differently. Let's not limit his voice to a familiar voice and directive of the past. Listen to this. God is speaking differently. Let's not limit his voice to a familiar voice and directive of the past. All right. An example of that is he used to have me prophesy so lovingly and so sweet and so wonderful. And now he's using me like a trumpet. You know, speaking very bold, prophesying very boldly and telling you just exactly how it is. I still don't like that. But that's where God has me. Somebody in the body of Christ has to get a forehead of flint and a backbone of steel to stand up against the wiles of the enemy. Amen. Yes, the Lord is challenging us to let go. God desires to release a new liberty to us and a fresh anointing that will destroy yokes of oppression in our lives as well as others. The Lord is challenging us to let go. He said to me, he said, daughter, you want to stay in the old or you want the new? That was a challenge, right? I said, even though it was wonderful, I want the new. I want the greater works. I want to see soul after soul after soul being brought into the kingdom. I want to see your manifest presence wherever we go. I want to see you empty out hospitals. See, this is stuff that hasn't happened. This is some part of the greater works. Well, I like my little Methodist church. I like my little whatever church. You know, I've gone to every church I think there is. But maybe God doesn't want you in that little church. Nothing wrong with the church. Are you listening? I'm not coming against it. There's nothing wrong with that church. God is saying, I want to use you in a manner that I can't, you can't be taught here. So I'm going to move you someplace else where you can learn what I need you to learn so I can then use you. But we're, you know, if you get comfortable in a church, the first church I went to, maybe it's the second one, I loved the pastor. He was so spirit-filled. He up and died. And I stayed there. God said, now I want you to leave. I took him and I want you to leave. But I liked it there. I was comfortable and got me in trouble. See, the pastor came against me and tried to embarrass me in front of everybody. But if I would have left like God told me to, I wouldn't have had to go through that embarrassment. I didn't do anything, but they just called me a witch and this and that and the other. So, see, God knows where he wants you to go. And what he did with me, he took me from there into this. And I didn't want this. I'm really content of just going to your church and helping you run your church. I don't need to be up front. Are you listening here? But God knew where he wanted me. And so I remind him every day, if things aren't going, I said, God, I didn't ask for this. You did this, Father. Now you take care of it. I didn't ask for it. But then you might have asked for something that you didn't understand the depth of what you were asking for. Now you're in over your head and you're saying, God, forget you even heard my voice. Are you listening? Didn't count the cost. All right, let's pray as we let go of the old and embrace the new. You can pray to yourself. Father, you are leading us a different way, and we are learning to completely trust you. Thank you for leading us out of our old wilderness. Thank you for delivering us from the false voice of the enemy and the seductive voice of our past experiences that do not give you glory. Thank you for preparing each of us to be a new wineskin so that we can receive all that heaven has to offer to us. As we pray for heaven to touch earth, we submit to letting go of our comfort zones so that we can be fully used to demonstrate your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, did you really mean that when you prayed it? Do you really want God to take you out of your comfort zone? Do you really want him to fill your vessel with new wine? Do you really want the anointing that destroys every yoke? If you want all this, you're going to suffer. There's a price to pay for it, but it's worth the price. If you were one of those that said, God, just empty me out and use me, just come on up here. Because what God wants to do now, if you've made that known to God, now he wants to pour an anointing in you that will help you walk through this.